Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm privileged and honored to welcome a very, very senior professional from the United Nations, who is also an international gender champion, Mr. Irakli Baritse. Irakli, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm really privileged and pleased to be at your show, Ashutosh.
Thank you. Irakli is the head of the Center for Artificial Intelligence and Robotics for the United Nations. He's a member of the World Economic Forum's Global Artificial Intelligence Council. He's a recipient of recognition on the awarding of the Nobel Peace Prize to the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons in 2013. He has had numerous publications, and as I just mentioned, he's an international gender champion. So Irakli, before we get into AI and ML, which our audience would love to listen to you about, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
First of all, thank you once again for inviting me to the show, and I'm really happy to share some of my thoughts and experiences to your audience and to get into the discussion with you on these transformative technologies, or actually the changing world which we are experiencing right now. Look, I mean, three milestones. Probably the first milestone was the breakup of the Soviet Union, where I was born and growing up in Georgia. That was a big milestone because everything has changed and we gained independence as a country. And as an individual, we sort of learn how to survive in an independent environment. That was a big milestone. Second milestone, and within the first milestone in my life, probably was when I left Georgia and went to the United States to get an education. Second milestone was when I joined the United Nations and international organizations back in year 2000. In the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. Okay. And that's an organization which deals with issues of an entire category of a weapon of mass destruction with an aim to fully eliminating it, to ensure that chemical weapons no longer exist in this world. And in 2013, we received the Nobel Peace Prize for these efforts. And I think that was a fantastic culmination of my career within this organization as well, where we achieved a lot. Around 99% of the chemical weapons were verifiably destroyed globally, and that was a huge achievement. And, and the third milestone in my career was creation of the Center for Artificial Intelligence and Robotics at the United Nations, which I initiated and then championed of putting it together and orchestrating how to ensure that AI used for the benefit of humankind, benefit of everyone in this world, and risks are minimized as much as possible. So these are the three big milestones.
And what incredible milestones from Georgia to the US to the Netherlands, and such a wide diversity of things that you've covered. So Irakli, let's talk about the Center for Artificial Intelligence and Robotics. You know, artificial intelligence and machine learning are used together. Help for all the thousands of our viewers and listeners, help me understand what these two terms mean.
I mean, in principle, I mean, artificial intelligence is a bigger terminology, which means many other techniques which are used in AI. Machine learning is one of those techniques. Often enough, these two terminologies are used together. There are many other different techniques which are used to understand and decipher large amount of data, which is collected on a daily basis by all of us at the same time. Enormous computational power, which we are able to use it, and incredible algorithms, which we are all designing. So three main ingredients are needed to achieve results in artificial intelligence. That is enormous amount of data, as much as possible, computational power, and the algorithms which are deciphering. What AI does the most and the best is making sense of this data. Right now, for example, we have around 45 zettabyte of data accumulated as all of us as human beings. But in 2010, we only had 1 zettabyte of data, and it is projected that in year 2025, we're going to have 175 zettabyte of data.
Okay.
And 175 zettabyte of data is as much as stacking DVDs all the way from here to the moon 27 times. So that's okay, a lot of data.
Wow, okay.
And no human being, no combination of human beings or group of people or all of us are able to interpret so much data, and that's where the AI and its techniques are helping us to do.
Very interesting. And you know, when I was reading about you, there was the reference to something called a strong AI and a weak AI. I didn't understand what the difference was between these.
Look, I mean, I think that, you know, we could talk about more like a narrow artificial intelligence and more sort of a general artificial intelligence in that sense. And then something what is called super intelligence as well. Mm-hmm. On the narrow side, right now, we have many different AI techniques which are solving particular problems. For example, AI is used in healthcare.
Correct.
To understand the origins of the diseases. For example, with the COVID-19, actually AI were the first, actually, the sort of who spotted the spread of the spread of COVID-19, actually, globally. So AI is very good in doing specific issues. Similarly, in energy sector or even in crime prevention, which we are dealing quite a lot, AIs are very powerful. At the same time, we still have not reached the level where AI can do healthcare, crime prevention, energy, education, and other things as well. And one day, and some scientists still debating whether it is actually possible or not, we may achieve something called general artificial intelligence, which would basically be on the level of human intelligence, so that we can do this and this and this, many things in combination. And some even associate this to a dangerous portion of the sort of development in AI, because people think that at that moment we may actually lose control of who is more intelligent being on this planet, because AI is developing exponentially faster, and we may end up in a world where we may not be the most intelligent beings anymore. And then there is something called super intelligence, which could be measured as millions or billion times more intelligent than us. And therefore, unless we create some safeguards, unless we create certain safety nets, we may be sort of losing complete control of ourselves. But so that's in a far distance. So I don't want your audience to think that we're sort of at the verge of that type of catastrophe.
So we are not, we have not yet reached a stage where some robots will take over the world.
I don't think so, and I think that it's still quite a far away when this will happen. There are scientists who are projecting that kind of things can happen by 2050. There are scientists who say even in 100 years time, or there are some who says that this may never really happen, because
interesting,
creation of something like this may not be even possible.
Very interesting. So, you know, just before we started recording, you were talking about artificial intelligence being used for policing, and also the challenges that could come because criminals could get access to a lot of that data and use AI. Tell me, what are your thoughts on this?
Look, I mean, this is probably one of those really kind of dark sides of the AI, and I can name 4 or 5 really serious ones alongside with for example, losing jobs for many people in the world, or military use of AI, or sort of existential risks which are associated to AI. Criminal use of AI is probably one of those like immediate risks we need to solve and immediate challenges we need to deal with. For example, we are looking at 3 different type of risks which are associated to the criminal use of AI. And by criminal, I also mean terrorists and all sort of categories of the categories. We look at first sort of a threat line is associated to the digital threats. Anything which is done by cyber criminals right now, in the near future, will be done by AI systems, AI applications, which means more powerful, 24 hours a day, learning from its own mistakes without being hungry, thirsty, or actually needing to get paid.
Right.
So therefore, the danger could be accelerated million times, billion times more than current ones, because these systems will be looking for loopholes to penetrate the penetrate certain systems, governmental, private sector, or individual, mm-hmm. where danger would be accelerated. Second line of the threats associated to the physical, sort of mm-hmm. physical threats. And here we're talking about combination of AI machine learning with robotics.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you take a drone and you put a face recognition technology on a drone and give a task to find me, for example, mm-hmm. here in The Hague in the Netherlands, mm-hmm. and potentially drone can find me and carry out the task it is given.
Wow.
Whether task is to bring me chocolates or assassinate me, mm-hmm. it depends on the one who is programming such a drone. But in principle, you can imagine what consequences could be derived. And imagine that this is not the one drone, but we're talking about swarms of drones. We're talking about thousands of them. What sort of threat we're going to have? And the third line of threats is associated to the political threats.
Mm-hmm.
And here, for example, we're talking about any technique which are going to disrupt political processes,
mm-hmm.
elections, for example. So you take a technique which is called deepfake,
mm-hmm.
and most of the audience probably already familiar with this technique. There are many applications, mostly used for recreational purposes, where you can use the deepfake technology and make a fake video of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen quite a lot actually around famous people being made sort of through this.
Correct.
But imagine you can use this to your political opponent mm-hmm. right before the elections, where you can actually derail the entire process, mm-hmm. manipulate the results, or manipulate the whole sort of a process of that. That
mm-hmm.
could have a devastating consequences if it's, of course, used in a massive scale.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we are at the stage already capable of doing such a thing
mm-hmm.
technologically. And it's a matter of time once we will see quite a lot of that. So against all these threats, obviously, we are empowering law enforcement agencies and appropriate authorities mm-hmm. to have knowledge, capability, and technology to detect and to counter it. And that's a whole different conversation.
Absolutely. So, you know, Irakli, what's also interesting to learn is that there are some countries which have got the technology to be able to manage AI and are far ahead. But there are far more countries which don't have access to this technology. How are you, sitting as the head of the organization at the UN, going to manage this big digital divide that is bound to occur on a global basis?
Yeah, that's a very big problem and excellent question, Ashtosh. I mean, look, right now, we have around 40 countries in the world who mm-hmm. have adopted something called strategies on, or governmental strategies on artificial intelligence
mm-hmm.
or digital strategies. These are big countries with capabilities both on the technological level or capable to invest in this. What does the AI strategies mean is that those are the governmentally adopted documents
mm-hmm.
deciding the direction of the country in this field and associating investments, sort of budgetary investments into this technology.
Mm-hmm.
These are the countries who at very early stage realized that AI is here to stay, and there is a lot of benefits for the countries which this technology can bring. And they're investing, and they are doing rightly so, and we are very mm-hmm. proud of all nations who are actually sort of accelerating their quest in the research or development and investments, whether it's sort of on the government side or the private sector side.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you have 160 countries or so in the world who
Correct.
Don't have such strategies.
Absolutely.
And some of them are making it, but then you have a lot of countries who are not investing in this technology.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are afraid is that at one moment we may end up in a world where only few would be powerful technologically from the policy side
mm-hmm.
and would be able to reap the benefits of such technology. So what we are doing about it is that I, in every speech I give, advocate that diminishing this digital divide, this is dangerous growing divide, mm-hmm. where we need to ensure that such a technology is enjoyed by everyone in the world, that mm-hmm. all countries have access to the knowledge and technological understanding of artificial intelligence and related technologies mm-hmm. around it as well. We talk here blockchain, we talk about biotechnology and other things too. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we do it? At the United Nations, of course, we have different processes within that. We have something called AI for Good Summit, where we're trying to invite a lot of countries from developing world as well.
Correct.
To ensure that they understand it. Every seminar, every workshop, every global meeting I am organizing from our side, we try to make it as geographically diverse as possible mm-hmm. so that countries, smaller countries with less technological capabilities are able to understand how to do it. And I tell you one more thing, mm-hmm. COVID in a way did help in that regard as well, ironically, is that most of now our operations, most of the workshops, trainings, and the global conferences what we give are given online, and countries from the developing world are much easier, sort of have the easier access to such a knowledge, while before most of it was physical, so you had to travel somewhere, let's say in Singapore, to mm-hmm. participate in a meeting, which was associated with funds and travels and all of this. Now everything is available online.
Correct. You know, but there is another aspect of AI that I wanted to ask, take your view on. And that is, I was reading an interesting paper on the ethical issues of artificial intelligence. I mean, human beings have always been seen as the most supreme. And now suddenly, there is a group of machines that are seeking to become more supreme than human beings. Would love to get your thoughts on this.
Look, ethical issues around it is quite a number of ethical issues. Actually, we are dealing with AI. One fundamental one is, mm-hmm. of course, that are we going to allow machines to take decisions on our behalf?
Correct.
And what are those kind of decisions which we're going to allow machines to take? And mm-hmm. what are the decisions where we should be in charge of? Mm-hmm. I believe that human being always should be sort of at the end point of the decision making, at the same time responsible and accountable for all actions.
Correct.
I believe that any decision which mm-hmm. is made specifically in the field of security, like in the military, in law enforcement, in other cases, should be associated to the human beings, and we should not sort of allow machines to take over in that sense. In a very simple way, what does machine do? Machine doesn't have a conscience, obviously, and machine does not know what is right and what is wrong, right. what is morally acceptable, even what is sort of in accordance to the fundamental principles of the human right. Mm-hmm. Machine knows whatever input we give the machine to. Mm-hmm. Therefore, any input which could be biased, which could be wrong or simply incorrect, machine would know as a truth and would interpret it in that way. And that's the huge question. How do we ensure the data which is inputted to the machine is not biased? Mm. How do we ensure the data which is inputted to the machine, which machine actually sort of dwells its decision on, is done and is acceptable to everyone? Mm. And those are very big questions a lot of different groups in the world are trying to solve it from the technical point of view and also from the sort of a policy point of view. At the United Nations, we have numerous debates how to ensure the governance of artificial intelligence is done in a way that everyone in the world will benefit from it and risks are diminished. So these are quite a long debate.
Very interesting. And of course, then there is the very, very positive side of AI, which is probably in education and, you know, management of large crowds and healthcare. Your thoughts on this?
Sure. At the United Nations, we have, for example, I've mentioned AI for Good Summits, and the design of the AI for Good Summit was actually to see how we can use AI and related technologies in finding solutions for the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. UN Sustainable Development Goals, which are 17 of them, are those really big, ambitious goals associated to the quality education, climate, health, and well-being, and many other sort of points there. And that's where we are trying to seek the benefit of AI, which is enormous in that sense. AI will be crucial in finding solutions in healthcare, in finding eradicating diseases or finding solutions to the diseases which we never thought were possible to actually solve. Similarly with energy, AI will be absolutely instrumental in the future to use our energy resources in a way which will be sustainable. Similarly with education, there are many AI tools which are going to democratize the education and make it available to many people in the world. Look, right now we have almost 4 billion people in the world still without internet, still without access to simple educational tools, and more we will sort of accelerate to that sense. We would need techniques and tools to bring such an education. AI will be excellent in figuring out sort of individual education tasks for people, sort of to tailor make it to your needs, to your abilities, to ensure that you get most out of it. Similarly, with the crime prevention, there are many tools which we are looking at that AI will help to solve crimes. Right now, my center, for example, we started a big project together with our partners and friends from the Ministry of Interior of United Arab Emirates on how AI is going to combat abuse of children online. And this is a growing problem on its own. And we are bringing knowledge and AI tools to the law enforcement agencies, helping them to solve such problems.
And, you know, my last question to you, I mean, you know, there's so much I want to talk to you about, but unfortunately, I'm running out of time. When you sit as a UN body, and the UN is the watchdog of the world, if you see AI being misused in by any group of people or any, you know, renegade leaders of countries, what is the role you and your group plays?
It's a great question. I mean, obviously, there are many potentials of the misuse of AI, specifically from the criminal groups, terrorist groups. With that, we are cooperating with big organizations like Interpol, Europol, and many other police and the security agencies. We just issued a big report, how AI could be misused by criminals. It's an 8-page sort of cutting-edge technical report on all possibilities of misuse of AI from the criminal side. And I encourage everyone to read that report. It's on our website, and that's the latest on this. In a month or so, together with the United Nations Office of Counterterrorism, we're going to issue a report on the possibilities of AI being used by terrorist groups as well. And what we are doing is that we are empowering countries. United Nations is there to serve UN member states. And our agency is set up to empower UN member states in understanding issues related to crime prevention, criminal justice, human rights. And what we're trying to ensure here is that this technology used for good, this technology used to solve problems, and solve problems in accordance with the fundamental principles of human rights and in accordance to the principles that everyone enjoys the benefits of it.
Very interesting. Irakli, thank you so much. You know, I really did want to cover the second part, which you're so passionate about, which is the international gender diversity, and you're an international gender champion. But I will seek time for a separate episode on this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for such an amazing conversation on artificial intelligence. I'm grateful to you for all the time you've given.
It was a pleasure to be with you. Looking forward to our next one.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.